From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 digital exclusive.
All right, so today we have a very accomplished sci-fi fantasy writer with us here on Writer's Block. She's looking at me with a strange look as I say that. Fonda Lee, you live in Portland. I know you're not originally from Portland, but you're kind of a big deal in this genre from what I can tell.
Oh, well, gosh, thank you.
Yeah.
that's right. I am originally Canadian. I grew up in Calgary, Canada, and then moved to a few different places and ended up in Portland.
Okay, yeah, I noticed you describe yourself as Canadian-American. I don't detect a Canadian accent, and unfortunately, I was kind of hoping you had one.
It comes out once in a while. Okay. Every once in a while, there's like something that I say that someone's like, you're Canadian, aren't you? But otherwise, we're pretty stealth. We kind of blend in pretty well.
I love Canadians. Okay. And so then I want to hear about we're going to talk about your books because it sounds like they've been doing really well and you have such a following. But first, I want to get your background because that seemed kind of interesting too, just your path to your writing career. It sounds like you were always an avid reader from what I've read. Like you were the kid in the library, right? That was always just in there, maybe even at recess.
Definitely.
Reading.
Yep. I was that bookworm who would be in the library until it closed.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom would pick me up late. So yes, definitely that bookworm kid. And
was it always sci-fi or fantasy?
You know, it was a whole mix of things, mm-hmm. but I definitely became a sci-fi nerd pretty early on in my life. I blame my dad because he tells me that he used to hold me in his arms as a baby and watch reruns of the original Star Trek. So I was just kind of bathed in the glow.
William Shatner.
Exactly. So I osmosed all of that early on in life.
Right.
So I was reading speculative fiction, science fiction, fantasy from a pretty young age, Chronicles of Narnia and mm-hmm. Prydain and
Wrinkle
The Dark
Time.
Is Rising, Wrinkle in mm-hmm. Time, all of those from a pretty young age. And then I also read a lot of animal books.
Oh, okay,
Black Beauty and Black Stallion.
Who didn't read Black Beauty?
Yeah, I know, right?
Like back in the day.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I read a lot, but did not actually think I would grow up to be a writer because I wasn't really exposed to a lot of published authors or mm-hmm. writers at that time. And I think when I was 10 years old, I told my parents, I want to be a writer.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's lovely, honey.
I knew where this was going.
Why don't you go to college and get a real job and something that can actually support you? So I did. I majored in business. I worked in management consulting and corporate strategy. I had mm-hmm. a 10-year-long business career.
Well, and you went to Stanford, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, and you got like higher up degrees even than just the normal BA.
Right. I got an MBA.
Yeah. So you were definitely on this like career corporate type track, it sounds like.
Right. And originally came to Portland because I worked in corporate strategy at Nike. That did that for several years. And all throughout that time, the idea of writing a book was just kind of one of those pipe dreams. You know, people are like, one day I'm going to run a marathon. Mm-hmm. One day I'm going to do whatever it is that is that would be so cool if I could do that.
Yeah.
I reached this point in my life where I wasn't really writing anymore uh-huh. because I had gotten so busy with life and had a full-time job that was pretty demanding, two small children,
mm-hmm.
and realized that I'd given up this thing that had been my lifelong hobby. And at that point, I had this epiphany where I just said, you know, I'm not getting younger. If this is something I really want to do and this is something I'm not going to be happy if I don't do,
mm-hmm.
then I need to take it seriously. So I just basically resolved that I was going to make some changes in my life. I cut back on my day job
mm-hmm.
and I started taking online writing classes. I started writing seriously mm-hmm. and going to writing conferences. And it took a few years for me to make that transition. And then once I did, I was like, this is what I've been meaning to do my whole life.
Your whole life. And that, I mean, obviously that must have been scary, I would think, because, you know, financially you've got a job and you've got kids. But making that jump, I would think, is pretty terrifying, right? Did you jump full-time right away into writing?
I did not jump in full-time right away.
Yeah.
Like, mentally, I definitely did have the, I'm going to jump out of an airplane with no parachute.
Mm-hmm.
I did have to make it work financially for a few years. Fortunately, my husband has a job with good health insurance.
That's always key.
So that's always very helpful. And I still was doing business consulting. Mm. So I was balancing after I left my day job, I was consulting. And so I would do that part of the time and save up money so I could write the rest of the year. Because writing is this interesting profession where the work precedes the payment by years sometimes. Yeah. So you're writing for a long time before you ever see a cent of payout from your efforts. Mm-hmm. And so getting through that transition period is something that I think anyone who wants to do this as a living has to think about and has to keep in mind.
Yes. And so then when did you, were you overnight successful when you started sending out queries and everything? Or were you kind of still learning at that point, like, oh, this is what they want? Or what kind of feedback did you get?
Yeah. So I would not, definitely not an overnight success. It was one of those situations where, things happen slow, 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 and then they happen all at once. And mm-hmm. I think that happens a lot in this business. So I had written an entire novel that I was querying, and it was kind of puttering around out there. I got a few agents who were interested, and the full manuscript was out there in a few places. In the meantime, I wrote another novel, which is the best advice I can really give for any writer who is in that process of trying to find an agent and get published is, there's a lot of waiting, and mm-hmm. you can't just sit around and hope that something will happen. You've got to keep working. And you know that saying from Glengarry Glen Ross, ABC, always mm-hmm. be closing. For writers, it's very much always be creating. So always be creating the next thing. So yeah. I wrote a whole nother novel, and then I took it to Willamette Writers, the conference mm-hmm. here in Portland that happens every year in August. And I wasn't sure whether or not I ought to pitch it yet because it was brand new. I just finished writing it. I was still querying another thing. So I thought, okay, well, I'll talk about both of them. I'll try one and then pitch the other and see how it goes. And then I got so much interest off of this new mm-hmm. novel that I had written that I sent out a bunch of queries to other agents that were on my list, had 4 agent offers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And this was the one that you had just done, not the one you'd been doing. So which one was this?
So this was my debut, Zero Boxer, which came out in 2015 mm-hmm. and was a young adult science fiction novel that I call Rocky Meets Gattaca. It's about a prize fighter who's competing in zero gravity combat in the future when Earth and Mars are in the political conflict.
You know, I think my husband saw that description somewhere when I was looking you up yesterday, and he was like, oh, I think I could read that. Like, it sounds like something I want to read.
I hope he does. Let me know if he gets a chance to do that.
Yeah. And so then where did you go from there? Because then you got 4 agent offers, and obviously it was published.
Right. So we went through a round of revision or two mm-hmm. and then sent it out in October, and it got picked up by a publisher in December. So mm-hmm. beginning to end, it was a 1-year process from when I started writing that book to when I sold it. So that was my debut. Mm-hmm. And after that, I wrote 2 other young adult science fiction novels, Exo and Crossfire, which came out from Scholastic. And right now I'm writing this epic urban fantasy trilogy called The Greenbone Saga, which is probably what I'm best known for. And that was my adult debut, which came out in 2017.
And is that the Jade City? Is that all part of that?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I know a lot of, there's a lot of martial arts, correct, in your books? And,
yes.
And you yourself, you have a black belt or several belts from what I remember?
Yeah, I have some amount of action and fighting and pretty much all of my stories. And that's very much influenced by the fact that I've been a martial artist for a long time. And writing those scenes is always candy for me. It's always a lot of fun. I know some people find them a hard part of writing, but for me, it's very much like, oh, okay, I can get through this really intense political discussion chapter or like this emotional confrontation chapter, because I know there's going to be a big fight scene coming up.
Yeah. I would think that would be, for me, that would be very difficult to write because I don't know anything about martial arts. So that's just an easy blow through it type of thing when you're writing.
Well, it still takes quite a bit of work because I block it out in my mind. And then there's a lot of working on the prose to make it evoke the right tone and flow smoothly, because in many ways you have to go slow to go fast mm-hmm. when it comes to writing action scenes. I, as a writer, spend a lot of time on it so that hopefully it just flows really smoothly and seems to be very fast-paced from the reader's point of view.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. And so, and you also, it looks like you are continuing to write a series for Marvel. There's some series you have.
Oh, so I did start doing some comics.
Okay.
In the past year, I wrote a series called... Well, a backup series called Swordmaster and Shang-Chi. So I got to play in that sandbox a little bit. And I've done another short story for Marvel. So I'm doing comics here and there. Mm-hmm. My biggest focus right now is on finishing the third book in the Greenbone Saga and tying that trilogy up, which is a big it's a lot to take this thing that at the end of the day will be in the range of about 650,000 words in totality.
With
so
the three?
Pulling that all together is going to be... my big task for this year.
Taking on a trilogy seems like just such an ordeal. Do you have it all? Are you a pantser writer where you're just kind of going and not really knowing where you're going to go next? Or do you plot everything out for in that case?
Something in between.
Yeah.
So I definitely do outline and plan things ahead of time because a lot of my books are very... they're complex in the sense that there are multiple point of view characters mm-hmm. and different plot threads, and they all have to be interwoven together in a way that that works, that makes sense, and feels very natural. So I do have to do quite a bit of upfront planning. But I often say the outline is just something to give me enough courage to jump into the swimming pool because it will invariably change. So I will be outlining, and then I will write, and then I'll realize I need to redo the outline.
Yeah.
And so it's more of an iterative process. It's not a sequential write the outline and then write the book. And that's, it never works out.
Right.
That smoothly.
Right. So you mentioned you have kids. Do they, are these book, I know you said these are the adult books, right? This was your introduction. So do they read your other books? Do they read these books? Where do you, is there a line that you draw with what they can read?
So my daughter has read a couple of my young adult novels, mm-hmm. Exo and Crossfire. My son is 10, so he hasn't picked them up yet.
Okay.
But hopefully they will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even the Marvel. You said comics. Are they graphic novels or are they comics?
They're comics.
Okay.
They're comics, yeah.
Okay.
And my son has read those.
Well, I imagine they think it's pretty cool that their mom writes these things.
I can't tell. I mean, they're my kids, so I think they're like, yeah.
Okay.
Not...
Are you sure they're not my kids? It's not like my kids, yeah. Very unimpressed.
Right. I'm not sure, as their mom, mm-hmm. they probably aren't impressed by anything that we do.
Yeah.
But I think my son in particular, who's a very creative kid and likes to draw and write himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think that he finds that pretty cool.
Yeah. And so and as far as your parents, I mean, it sounds like you're doing this full time now, correct? Like
yes.
you've left the corporate world behind. What do they say? Because originally, they were like, oh, let's get a real job first. I'm sure they're supportive.
Yeah. No, they really are now. They're very much proud of the fact that I'm doing something that I enjoy so much.
Yeah.
My mom was always like, I knew it, I'm like, I'm not sure you did.
That's pretty funny, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she did. Deep down. She just didn't want to. Do you see any of these books? Because, it sounds like they have been very successful. Do you see any of them? I know a lot of writers imagine small screen, big screen, in the future. So many books seem to be adapted into screenplays.
Well, that would be very fun and cool if that happened. As an author, I don't have much control over what's going on the Hollywood side. So there is talk on the TV adaptation side, and nothing firmed or greenlit. The thing with Hollywood is like there's always a bunch of talk going on, and until actually something is filmed and on the screen, you don't know whether it's going to happen or not.
Mm-hmm.
But there is various screen adaptation discussion going on, and fingers crossed, we'll see.
Okay, so you have an approach then about these various things, and that's involving the trilogy?
So, so the trilogy has been optioned, and there's stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other books as well, there's been some discussions going on, things being shopped. So we'll see. It's all very black box, I think, for authors. We kind of get calls from our agents being like, okay, so-and-so is interested. And we're like, cool. And then we don't hear anything for a long time.
So it sounds like you've kind of learned to just be like, okay, I'm not going to get really excited until it actually,
yes.
But I'm sure when you write these characters, you have an idea. Like, it's kind of like a movie playing out in your head, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably the closest thing for me in terms of seeing the work or experiencing the work adapted in different ways when I listen to the audiobook of my novels, because there's actually a narrator or voice actor who's narrating them. And as I listen to them, it's a really it's a fun experience because I'm like, oh, yeah, gosh, that's exactly how I imagined that character's voice.
Oh, really?
Or, oh, okay, well, that wasn't what I expected. That's different from what it was in my head.
Yeah.
So, but I think as authors, it's important to kind of realize that, like, once the book is published, it's not yours anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's now, it's flown from the nest and people are going to interpret it in different ways. And it is also very exciting to see people get excited and draw fan art or, you know, make playlists. That is so, so validating and fun because it's just knowing that something that was very much a part of your imagination is now creating more imaginative work out there.
Yes. And then they go see the movie and they say, I like the book better.
Yeah, that's me like 90% of the time.
Me too, actually. Yes. And so do you have anything? Well, you mentioned the audiobook, by the way. Can you find your books on Audible?
Definitely.
Where can people find those?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All of them?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting. And then you're working on the third book right now. And anything else coming up that you have?
So I've got a bunch of potential projects on the back burner, none of which I can really talk about yet because I've been focused on trying to finish this trilogy.
Yeah.
Part of me is like, once this is done, I will write something short. These books have been
they're 600,000 word trilogy.
Right. Yeah. So maybe I'll do something short. I do enjoy the young adult category, so I might go back to that. I have another idea for an adult fantasy novel. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, it's been so interesting chatting with you and just learning about your process and about your books. And I will recommend this to my husband because your books do sound like something he would be totally digging. So yeah, Fondly, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
The Coin6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin6 podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Coin6 meteorologist Kelly Bayern here. We know that you like to know what to expect from the weather each week and how it could affect everything from getting to work on time today or what you want to do with your weekend. That's why we've launched Your Weather Week podcast on the Coin Podcast Network. Each Monday, fellow coin meteorologist Joseph Dames and I take an in-depth look at your forecast and bring it to you in a fun, relaxed atmosphere that you can download and listen to whenever and wherever you want. So check out Your Weather Week on the Coin Podcast Network every week. You can find it on coin.com or iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean.